أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وآية لهم أنا حملنا ذريتهم في الفلك المشحون وخلقنا لهم من مثله ما يركبون وإن نشأ نغرقهم فلا صريخ لهم ولا هم ينقذون إلا رحمة منا ومتاعا إلى حين. Now the sets of ayat that we were discussing, two sets of ayat we discussed in previous sessions, the three sets of ayat which deals with a kind of assurance that we have in this world while we go around in our activities. And Allah says this is all due to Him, even this sense of assurance that you have. Now, a sign to them is that we bear their offspring in the laden ship, and we have created for them the like of it, what they will ride on. And if we please, if we wish, we can drown them, then there shall be no succorer for them, nor shall they be rescued. Now, if you remember, the first set of ayats, which talk about وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةِ, the sign for them is the dead land, was how Allah has created everything in a way that they would sustain human being on this earth. The second set of ayats about the moon and the sun, that this earth is in a bigger constellation, in a bigger system, and that system works very regularly and very accurately, and it's why the earth is having night and day and is going round in order. And the third set of ayat, how we're going around on this earth, how we move around on this earth. Now, and a sign for them is that we carried their seed. Zurriya is, as it is mentioned here, in Arabic, any tiny particle or thing is a dhar. So dharri means atomic, because the atoms also called dhar. Now zurriya are small children, or as they have translated, seeds. Of course, seeds is the literal meaning. So small children, offspring, are called dhurriya. And also, by a loose meaning, to any son or daughter, any offspring, could be called dhurriya. Now, a sign for them is that we carry their offspring, their children, in a laden ship, a ship full of people, filled with people. And what kind of sign is this? Now, let's see what explanation they have given for this verse. We have carried their dhurriya. Now, some people, some exegetes say that there is no point saying a sign is for them that we have carried their children, because all of us, especially in the past time, in the ancient times where there was no plane, no cars, nothing like them, almost all people once in their time had boarded on a ship. Ship was the main carrier in the old time, in the ancient times, and the best of it, of course, for very long journeys. Now, it was better to say a sign for them is that we carry them on a ship, rather than we carry their children on a ship. So this point has made some exegesis to come to the conclusion that this ship should have been a special kind of ship. It's not any folk or any ship that Allah alludes to. It might allude to the ship on which Nuh boarded his followers and his companions. And it says, we have carried their Zurriya, and Zurriya here doesn't mean children. It means their seeds. When they were not in this world yet, a few thousand years before they come to this world, a sign for them is that we have carried them while they were only seeds in the back of their fathers. We have carried them in a filled ship, in a laden ship. And that ship has carried those people, the seeds of these people, the seeds of future people on it, and now they are living, and this is a sign for them. But this is a very, very far away sign, isn't it? We never think about the ship of Nuh when we look around ourselves saying that, okay, if those people were not saved by Nuh in that ship which was going in a very, very stormy sea, then we were not here at all now. It is very far-fetched, very far away kind of sign if you want to look at it. And it is based on the assumption that everyone in this world were drawn on the occasion of the Nuh's punishment of the people of the Nuh at that time. While this assumption is not very firm, we cannot assume that while the storm happened at the time of Nuh, everyone on earth were drawn, because it happened in a specific area, it happened where Nuh was living. It was because his people actually denied him, not people of whole the world. There was no point to destroy the people of the whole world because people of Nuh actually rejected him. So it is based on shaky assumption, and it cannot be a kind of sign for us now thinking that, yes, when we were still seeds, our fathers were still seeds on the back of their fathers, they were carried on a laden ship with Nuh alayhi salam. And however, many exegetes have mentioned this as one of the possibilities about this verse. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, we have carried their seeds, rather than their offsprings. ذُرِّيَّة here is used as being seeds. فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونِ. Now, if we don't take it to be like this, if we don't take it to be the ship of Nuh, this ship, this filled, laden ship, why Allah says we have carried their children, their offspring, why not ourselves? وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ, a sign for them is that we carry their offspring in a laden ship. Why not saying we carry them in laden ship? Now, some exegetes say that the reason is it wants to arouse our mercy and our emotions, that you are very much worried about your children, and your children move about on this earth, especially youngsters, the youth, when they come to the age of knowing, understanding, they want to go around, they want to see the world, and they do not listen to you. And look, they do many things. They board on ships, they go on camels and all these things at that time, and today they ride aeroplanes and all these things, and we carry them around. And you are very much assured that nothing is going to happen. And they are assured that nothing is going to happen. So this would arouse more emotion, that a sign for them is that we carry their children in a laden ship. And now, what happens? Of course, it's not only ship. وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِن مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ, and we have created the likes of the ship, or we will create the likes of the ship. And we have created for them the like of it, what they will write on. Now, it is said that animals as well are like ships. They carry people around. But this is not a very nice explanation. We could say that, because this is mentioned in other places of the Quran, that whenever things which are going to happen in future and people don't know about it, God says, okay, we have created, and it is always in the past tense, because for Allah, things which are going to happen in future has already happened, has already decreed. So He uses the past tense always about His creation, usually specifically about those creations which are going to be created by human beings. It has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that such things happen. So it says, and we have created the like of it. The like of it. What is the like of the ship? Aeroplanes, spacecrafts, cars, and all these things. You, your children are boarded on spacecrafts. They go to the space very safely and they come back very safely. And you are very much assured that nothing is going to happen. So this, وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِي, we have created like of it, alludes to things which people of that time didn't know. And in Surah Nahl as well, when Allah talks about an'am, the carriers of those time, camels, horses and other things, and of course ships, which were the most spectacular kind of carrier at those times, which is mentioned many times in the Quran, then he says, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and he creates things that you are not aware of. Well, this alludes that other things are going to be created later on. And so here, وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُم مِّن مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ, might allude to things which, of course, people didn't know about, and they ride in future, and they are like ships, well, like aeroplanes, cars, other things. Now, وَإِن نَشَأْ نُغْرِقْهُمْ, and if we wish, we can drown them. Now, this is a very strong allusion to why you are assured because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His compassion, of His beneficence. This is why you are assured that nothing is going to go wrong in this world. If we wish, we would have drowned them, and there was no one to listen to their cries. Sarikh is someone who listens to Surah. Surah is crying for help, and no one was going to listen to their cries for help. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ, and they wouldn't have been saved. Now, what does this mean? If we wished, we would have drowned them. If we look at the verses in Surah Shura, which mentions almost the same thing in a different phrase, with different expression, we would know a bit more about what Allah actually means here by, if we wished, we would have drowned them. Because at the face of it, you might think that, well, how cruel Allah is. If He wished, He would have drowned everyone riding on a ship. And why is He mentioning such a thing to people? Now, look in Surah Shura. Verses 32 to 35, it mentions almost the same thing, and this is repeated many times in the Quran, so it should be a very important thing to take heed of, to have attention to. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ الْجَوَارِ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ, this is verse 32, and among His signs are the ships in the sea like mountains. So the same thing. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Now, in Surah Yasin, it talks about people who are on the ship. So, it arouses more emotion, especially our children riding on the ship. Here, it doesn't talk about people. It talks just about the ships. You see, they go like mountains. They go over the sea. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُسْكِنَ الرِّيحَ فَيَظْلَلْنَ رَوَاكَدَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهِ, if He wishes, He causes the wind to become still so that they lie motionless on its back. Now, what's the sign in this? We have invented, created ships, airplanes, spacecrafts, and all these things. But we do not actually think that all these are possible because there are some rules going on in this world. Because the means are already there. Now Allah gives us the attention. You have invented and lots of industries you have by which you create ships and other things. But just pause and think for a second. If the wind was not going to blow, what was the use of all these you were creating, you were making? If he wants, he can make the wind to stand still. And then, as much as ships you want to create, you want to build, they are of no use. They are not going to move on the sea. Well, at those times, when the ships were being carried by the wind. Now, today, okay, you might say, okay, today we don't need wind, we have ships which don't move with the wind. Now, if the oil, for example, didn't have these qualities in it, which could be turned into energy, what was the use of all these which we created? If electricity was not a quality in molecules, in the matter, if the molecules didn't have such qualities in themselves, whatever we did was of no use. Now, our mistake usually is, human mistake usually is, whatever we build, we create, we invent, we think that it is our creation, while it is just what we have found. This is very important to attend to. Whatever we build, whatever we do in this world, is just we find things in this world. We have found the qualities in atoms by which we could make atomic energy. Now, when we do that, instead of saying, wow, what a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what qualities He has put for us on this earth, which Allah, of course, when Allah talks about the earth, He talks with lots of respect about this planet, that وَبَارَكْنَا فِيهَا, we have blessed the earth. Everything in the earth, on the earth, in the earth, is blessed. It is full of barakah, full of ni'mah, isn't it? Wherever you go, whatever you touch, it is full of barakah and ni'mah. It's more than gold. We just think that, well, what a blessed land is the land in which there's gold. But you have much more than gold everywhere. This earth is full of barakah. Now, instead of thinking about this, that, wow, what an earth, what a blessed ni'mah Allah has put on it, we say, oh, wow, what a mind I have. How I am intelligent, how we are intelligent, that we have created all these things. Well, these things are there. You just have found them. You just have used them. And we might find many, many things in the future. And we might use them. Now, especially for Arabs who were only used to camels, to sheep, to cattle, and they didn't have much industry, it was very difficult to explain these things. For us today, it is very easy to explain. But for them, of course, the most important sign of human intelligence was ship and the way it moved on the water. And if we are intelligent enough, if we ponder on these verses, we would find that, yes, Allah is alluding to the same thing that we are doing these days. And all the creation that we make, all the inventions that we carry on with, we find in this world, are actually simply the same thing. We think that we have created things very important, very magnificent, but if we ponder a little bit, we would find that it's just a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala working in it. So here it says, إِن يَشَأْ يُسْكَنَ الرِّيحِ. If he wants, he just make the wind stand still, and then nothing would work. If he wants, he just makes the qualities of atoms a bit different, and then there is no atomic energy, there is nothing by which you could boast that we have reached to this stage. Or if he wanted, he wouldn't have put these qualities in silicon chips, so that you could store loads of memories in them, and you would have computers and all these things. It's all, I mean, silicon chips are very, very, and before the creation of computers, they were, well, valueless, useless things. Now we have found that what kind of barakah Allah has put in this. It is unthinkable that in such a valueless object, you could find all these qualities. And this is just the beginning. We are just taking off to find out what are on the face of this earth. And this is what Allah says in Surah Fussilat, I think. وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا. And He blessed everything that was on the earth. And فَيَضْلَلْنَا رَوَاكِدَ عَلَىٰ ذَهْرِ. They would become motionless on its back. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. Surely there are signs in this for every patient. Of course, patient not being very hurriedly coming to conclusions that all these human beings have created. Look, we are in 21st century. Look, human beings, how much improvement they have made. So you are talking about God still? Okay, be patient. Have some patience. And of course, be thankful to the ayat of Allah. لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. Every patient, grateful one. And then it says another thing. Okay, he could have made the sea not accepting ships moving on it. It could have been so stormy. It could have been so uncalm, not tranquil as it is. أَوْ يُبِغْهُنَّ بِمَا كَسَبُوا وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Or he may make them founder for what they have earned. He may punish them for what they have earned on the sea, and even then, well, it goes into a different kind of notion to which we will come, but He is forgiving you the most of things that you do. Now, here in Surah Yasin, what we have, again, وَإِن نَشَأْ نُغْرِقْهُمْ. If we wished, we would have drowned them. فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ. There was no one to listen to their cries. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ. And they were not going to be saved. Now, you see the ship, your children ride on it, they go very, with lots of assurance. Now, if we wanted, we would have drowned them. As I said, you might think, okay, this is very cruel, God mentioning all these to us. But it brings something to our minds, that you are so ungrateful to God. You are doing lots of sins against Him. You have forgotten all His mercies. And if He wished, He would have, without any accusation from anyone coming against Him, He could have drowned all of you, and no one could have said, why? Because you are sinful. Why? Because you are ungrateful. Why? Because you are using all these and you are not thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are rejecting Him. He would have done all these. He could have done all these. He could have drowned you and could have justified it with all these things, but He is not doing it. Now, it brings something to the mind of the people who were listening to these, to such verses, that you are rejecting the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are rejecting His signs. You are rejecting to be grateful to Him. And you are using the sun, the moon, the earth, and the ships that you have created. And just think what Allah could have done with you. And this is what we have in many other verses. وَلَوْ كَسَبَ وَلَوْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَوْ أَخَذْنَا النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. If we take people into, take them accountable for what they do, we could have very easily destroyed everyone on the earth because of the sins that they do commit. But we do not do that. وَإِن نَشَأْ نُغْرِقْهُمْ. And who is going to listen to their cries? Who is going to actually justify them for what they do? No one in the world would actually come to their help or would be on their side because they are so ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is like when the people are being carried to the hell on the day of judgment. There is a very nice hadith that this is about the explanation of the verse in Surah Haqqah, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ, that when Allah tells to the angels, get him, catch him, and chain him, and drag him to the hell, the angels come very suddenly to take him, and they say, have mercy upon us. They say to angels, have mercy upon us. And they say, look, the most merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have mercy on you. How? Our mercy is just a creation of Him. It's just something bestowed in us by Him. How could we have mercy upon you? So there's no one, if Allah is not going to have mercy on someone, there's no one more merciful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one more juster than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if He is not going to have mercy on you, who is going to have mercy? If He is going to drown you, who is going to help you? So it is all depending on Him. This is what we have to actually bear in mind all the time. Everything belongs to Him. Everything depends on Him. Everything comes from Him. And this is the Tawheed, actually, that we are advised to. Not seeing ourselves or others having any influence upon what we use in this world. So, if we do not drown them, it is because إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا, because a mercy from our side. Otherwise, there is a very nice dua by Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam saying that, oh God, if you had left me to your creatures, they wouldn't have any mercy on me because they know what a kind of human being I am. And they wouldn't want to have mercy on me. They would want to punish me. It's just because of your mercy that you are keeping me, you are saving me from everything else. So if we wanted, we would have drowned them, and there was no one to listen to their cries, because no one would have more mercy than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْغَذُونَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا. It's just a mercy from us. From us, this minna is very important here. It's just a mercy from us. وَمَتَاعًا إِلَاحِي. And an enjoyment which they are going to have for a limited period. Now, there are two things here mentioned, and both of them are very important. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَمَتَاعًا إِلَاحِي. Mata'an ilaheen is mentioned in the Quran in several places. Now, the first time Allah uses this is with Adam alayhi salam, that you are going to live on the earth and to enjoy for a limited period. This is decreed. You and your children, you and your offspring. If you look into Surah Baqarah and in other surahs, there is an order by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to Adam and Shaitan and of course Hawa, that you have to go down from the position that you are. But Adam was saved. Now I want to mention the exact verses here. These are verses, Surah Baqarah verses number 36 onwards. Now, after Shaitan deceived Adam and Hawa, And he actually made them to be driven out of their garden. Allah says, قُلْ نَهْبِطُوا. We told them, go down. بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. Some of you are enemies of others. It means Shaitan and Adam, they are enemies on the earth. Up to the end of the life of the world. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ. On the earth, there is a place of abode for you. وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَاحِ. And enjoyment until an appointed time. إِلَاحِ. Enjoyment, it means whatever sins the people on this earth do, whatever mischief they bring about, this decree is going to come to be concluded as Allah has appointed the time for it. We are not going to see anything happening on this earth. Sometimes you say, all these oppressions, all these mischiefs, wrongdoings, why Allah doesn't do something about it? Because there is an enjoyment until a limited period for us, and that is until the day of resurrection. Of course, when Allah says Elahin to a very short period, all is very short period for him until the day of judgment. For us, it is very long, but for him, it is very limited period. You have enjoyment on this earth for a very limited period. Now, after hearing this, Adam, of course, was pounded with remorse. What did I do? Why did I do such a thing? Now I'm relegated to the earth, and I have come here, of course, to enjoy for a limited period. And because of his remorse, of his penitence, Allah showed him the way to repent to him. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Okay, he received some words from Allah by which he could repent, he could go back to Allah, and of course Allah accepted his repentance. But قُلْ نَهْبِطُ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. I told him, go down to the earth, you and your offspring, جَمِيعًا, all of you. This جَمِيعًا doesn't return to Shaitan and Hawa and Adam. It returns to the offspring of Adam alayhi salam. Go to the earth, all of you, you and your offsprings. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُ. And if a guidance comes from you and you follow that guidance, there is no fear, no sadness, don't worry about anything. I have accepted your repentance. You are saved, your offspring are saved, but there is no way to go back to your garden anymore. Okay, you are 100% back to the same position, be sure about it, but you have to live on the earth now, you and your offspring. Now, if Adam actually was relegated from that garden, even if we were in that garden, we would have had the same situation or even worse, 100% worse situation, of course. Those who were not polluted by living on this earth, like the prophets, the imams, they were quite happy living on this earth. They didn't have any objection for it, because they knew this is a limited period, no worry, they have followed the guidance of Allah, there's nothing they have to worry about, and they would go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we sinners who actually, if we were in that garden, we would have done much worse things than Adam alayhi salam. Now we object him that, why did he do such a thing so that we come here? There's no worry about it. I mean, as I said, for awliya Allah, there's no worry living on this earth. But we are doomed to live on this earth, the offspring of Adam, until a very short period, a limited time, ilahi. This is what we have decreed. And this has to be fulfilled. This has to continue until the end. The appointed time comes. So, here Allah says, why don't we drown them? Amidst all their sins that they commit, amidst all their ungratefulness to Allah that they show, why don't we do anything about it? First, because it is a mercy from us. Because of two things. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا. First, because it's a mercy from us. We don't want to destroy them immediately after they do the slightest sin. And second, it is an appointed term that should come to its end. This is what we have decreed. And this is again the meaning of other verses, that if God wanted to punish people because of their sins, they wouldn't have left one living being on this earth. Even the cats and dogs should have been punished because of what human beings do on this earth. But, of course, they have to fulfill their appointed time. And this would answer lots of our questions, that why Allah doesn't do anything about whatever goes on the earth? Why He doesn't intervene? Why, for example, someone kills thousands and millions of people and nothing happens? Why Imam Hussein is killed, for example, and nothing in this universe changes? Because that appointed time, that very short time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, should come to its end. And this is what we have decreed. So this is a sign for you. You are carried, your children are carried on ships, on airplanes, on spacecrafts, on cars. They go about, they go around on this earth. They are safe, they are assured, nothing happens. Now look, it is just because of our mercy. And of course, because, well, of course the address is to kuffar and disbelievers, that you reject Allah, you reject to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He doesn't do anything, it is one, out of mercy. And second, because that appointed time should come to its end. And this shows that even on disbelievers, even on kuffar, Allah has a rahmah, isn't it? He has a mercy upon everyone, upon all people. And this is why they live in their families. They enjoy having ties and relations with each other. They enjoy affections, emotions, everything that a mu'min enjoys from. Why they are ungrateful, they are sinners. Why? Because, of course, it's all due to mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. This comes to conclude what Allah has mentioned about these three sets of ayats. That although they see all these ayats, of course, they do not think about it very much. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُؤْرِضُونَ. How many various kinds of ayats every day, it comes to their eyes, it passes their notice, but it passes their notice. They neglect it in the heavens, in the earth, in their souls. They do not think about it. So now the conclusion is, all these sets of ayat, if they want to ponder about the earth itself, what kind of sign they could find in it? If they want to think about the universe, the skies, the sun, the moon, and if they want to think about their children, they're moving around on the earth, all these are very, very significant ayat. But of course, when they are told that fear what you are doing, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And when it is said to them, guard against what is before you and what is behind you, that mercy may be had on you, that you might be a case for mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they say, I cannot mention it. This is because, of course, this verse brings Eza, and when it is told to them, and then there is no response. It's just mentioned, when it is told to them, you have to fear. And it doesn't say what happens, what they do, because it's very clear. They are not going to respond, they are not going to take heed, and, well, literally, from the point of literature, this kind of expression is used, I mean, bringing Eza, and when it is taught, and no answer is given, it is used when the answer is so sick, remarkable. And of course, something that really, really could not be mentioned. It is so sad to mention it. So it doesn't mention, of course, what they answer. But from the point of view of literature, it gives a strong sense that, of course, their answer is a strong rejection. They are not going to take heed. So, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. So, it is stopped there. It is left unfinished. And then it talks about that all signs of Allah would come to them and they would turn away from it. Now, about اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ. Fear what is behind you and what's before you. There are lots of discussions here that inshallah we have to deal with in the next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِ.
Shukran, Sheikh. Can we start with the questions from the gent side first of all? Yeah, if the ladies are ready, are they ready? Yes.
Salaam
alaikum.
Just, I don't know, crossed my mind when we were mentioning the ayat about the creation of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that He is going to put a khalifa on earth. And then we were told about the sin of Adam alayhi salam, and because of the sin he was told to go down. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided from the beginning that He is going to create a khalifa and He is going to put him on earth, So how?
No, he was to be Khalifa in that Jannah, actually, in that garden. That garden was on the earth. It was not the Jannah, the paradise. We shouldn't think that Allah put Adam in paradise and then He relegated him to the earth.
Said, "أتجعلوا فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء."
Mm-hmm.
So that's a reference to the earth. Nothing on heavens.
Yeah, this is what I mean. In that garden was on the earth, actually. But it was a special kind of garden. It was somehow a kind of spiritual relegation rather than relegated from the sky to the earth. Probably, I mean, when Adam was relegated, he still was at the same place. But that garden lost its qualities. It was not the same garden as it was before. So, right from the beginning, he was on the earth. And in many ahadith, we have that the mud with which Adam was created was taken from different parts of the earth. It was taken to that place, and he was built and given life in that place, in that garden. Okay? And that garden was on the earth. The only thing is that he spiritually was relegated from a position which he had, and that Jannah lost its qualities for him. That garden lost its qualities for him, and his world became like one of the gardens that we see nowadays on the earth. So it was on the earth, it was just spiritually relegated down, and then he was retrieved. But the qualities of that garden was not retrieved anymore. Adam was retrieved, he went to his previous spiritual position, but Allah said, now this is earth with its qualities that we see today, and you have to live on it.
Any brother? Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for your speech. I just want to check my understanding and then ask a question. If we take the cosmos as a demonstration of Allah's attributes, and then we can say, regarding the invention, that we tap into the attribute of inventor, there's an attribute, yes? So, if we look at us as that, as sort of things that tap into the attributes, I want to ask, what attribute is it that makes us the things that tap in? Do you see what I'm asking?
Not exactly.
Say, if you think of something to invent, you have sourced the attribute of inventor.
Yeah.
So what is the attribute that makes you source?
It's our intelligence, isn't it, that Allah has given us, and then we could find out about the relationship of things of matter which Allah has created.
I mean, if we look at it as the whole cosmos is the demonstration of the attributes, so there's nothing else except the attributes.
Attributes of God.
Of God, yeah. So what's if we? Because then, if we say it's our intelligence, it's not in line with everything is the attributes.
No, of course, our intelligence is again a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I don't want to use the attributes for universe, attributes of God, because the creation is a bit different. We don't know how is the relationship between the creation and the creator. But certainly we know by many ahadith that creation of God is different from God himself. And his attributes is different from the attributes of the creation. But the point is that even our intelligence by which we discover and invent things is just something created in us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you take it to be some sort of manifestation of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these things. So the world, its relations, our intelligence, everything are manifestations of his attributes. So even when it develops, it's a development of those manifestations, not development of the attributes. They are constant, they don't change. It's a development of the manifestation of those attributes that we see.
So in that case, if everything's a manifestation of the attributes, what are we basically?
We are again manifestation of attributes, yes. Yeah.
It's just you have to tap into that to the full extent to understand.
Yeah.
Any sister? Brothers? Sheikh, talking about Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, where you mentioned in the context of the Surah Yasin and the repentance, usually, I'm qualifying my word here, usually we use the word repentance when somebody has committed a sin. Now, Allah speaks in that context that He taught Adam some words to repent. And we Shia try to sort of cover it up by saying that Adam did not commit a sin, although he disobeyed in some respect. So what does it mean in the context of the Quran? What did Adam do for him to be able to repent?
Well, he committed a sin. Well, he disobeyed. And disobedience is sin, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But probably the Aqidah of Shia, which thinks that the prophets are immaculate, that they do not commit sin, it doesn't go back to that garden before relegation. It goes back to the time when Adam was relegated to the earth and his repentance was accepted. Then from then on the earth, on this earth, with its qualities, of course. As I said, that garden was on this earth, but with different qualities. This is what somehow Allama Tabatabai as well tries to solve the difficulty. And he says that disobedience was before any Sharia came down. And after Sharia came down, of course, all the prophets acted according to the Sharia of Allah. They followed that guidance. As the Quran says, if a guidance comes from me to you, whoever follows that guidance. We believe that the prophets were those who never ever would and have actually neglected or disobeyed that guidance. But before that, I don't think this idea could go before that. This aqidah could go before when Adam was relegated to the earth. And I think the only acceptable answer to this is that we shouldn't take this aqidah that far to include that Jannah of Adam as well.
Surprise, if you don't mind, just you said, okay, the Sharia, but for Adam, the Sharia started when Allah said to him that not to approach this particular tree.
No, it didn't, because the beginning of Sharia as it's mentioned in the Quran, is when Adam repented. And then Allah said, قُلْ نَحْبِتُ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. You and your offspring go on the earth, and when the guidance comes and you follow it, there is no harm on you. Yeah.
To a similar question that we asked last week, we had a reply that Nabi Adam was given a recommendation by Allah and not a command. Is this correct? And can this be looked at it like this?
This is a usual way of actually resolving the problem. It doesn't appeal to me very much, actually, because for the prophets, recommendations are as orders, and it does not befit them to actually. And the harsh words which are used in the Quran, I don't think we could explain them in this way. فَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Adam disobeyed his Lord and he went astray. You see, these words couldn't say it was just a recommended thing that he was told by Allah, and then it made no difference. It just, because recommended things, well, if we analyze it, the mustahab thing, a recommended thing, or actually not coming here, a makruh, something which is not very agreeable to the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, they do not change your status. It's only that if you do not do a mustahab, you do not go higher than when you are. Okay. But here, in the case of Adam, I mean, we know that he cried. I mean, if we accept those ahadith, he cried for several years for repentance. He was remorseful all his life for what he did. And Allah says that he really disobeyed him and he went astray. He listened to shaitan. I mean, listening, what is listening to shaitan? It's actually going towards a different direction from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, although I know that most of our ulama has tried to resolve the problem in this way, saying that it was a makruh, and we have some hadith alluding to this, but since they are all not very much agreeable with the kind of literature used in the Quran, I think the best thing is what Allama Tabatabai has actually tried to solve the problem, that this doesn't go that far. This doesn't go back to that garden. It starts from when Adam was relegated and he was given the guidance. And he was told that whoever follows this guidance would not, no harm would be on him. They wouldn't, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They wouldn't have to fear. So, I mean, if we put all these factors together, we would see that this is a best solution for it than taking it as being a makruh or not following your mustahab.
Do we have then some reason why he did it? Because this is a sort of thing that, na'udhubillah, that, you know, not befitting a prophet. We would do things like that, but you know, I don't understand why Nabi Adam would actually go and disobey. His awareness surely would be much, much higher than that. Or are we not just looking at it properly?
Well, he didn't have any experience. Let's put it this way. He didn't know that someone might come and tell lies about what is going on, telling him that, you know why Allah has told you not to eat? Because he doesn't want you to become perpetual. He doesn't want you to live forever. And this is the tree of perpetuality. I mean, he never thought that this might be a lie. He thought that, okay, because then there was not daily correspondence between Allah and Adam telling him what to do, what not to do. It was just at the beginning he told them, live here, dwell here with your life, with your wife, and this is shaitan, he's trying to deceive you, be careful, okay? And that is the meaning of disobedience, because he was warned about it, okay? But he thought, as shaitan, he didn't know how shaitan would deceive. He thought that, okay, he might come and tell things that he should disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But saying that, well, Allah has only prohibited you from this tree because he doesn't want you to become perpetual. Now, if you think that it's good to become perpetual, now eat it. There's no harm in it. Well, why it happened, how it happened, we don't know. But we know that it happened. And it was a disobedience. It was actually a sin committed by Adam alayhi salam, however slight we might take that sin to be. And we know that he repented, he never ever sinned after that, and he followed that guidance. I mean, putting all these together, we just could come to these conclusions. Yes, you wanted to say something.
The Prophet Prophet Yunus, then, you said that it doesn't go back off, it goes back after till Adam, you know, the came Sharia. But Prophet Yunus disobeyed the, although he was a prophet, he disobeyed to the God. So
he did not disobey. Actually, what is mentioned in the Quran is that he did not take enough care of his people. It was not a disobedience. There was not an order to him that he should have stayed with his people. He just warned them. He saw the signs of azab and punishment coming. The people wanted to repent. He didn't listen to them anymore, and he left out of a wrath that he had against those people. And Allah takes this not as a sin, just not befitting a prophet in his care for his people. And it's not mentioned anywhere in the Quran or anywhere else that he disobeyed God or he sinned. Whatever, the only thing which is mentioned in the Quran is فَذَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. He thought that we are not going to have a new decree over him and his people, of course. He thought, it was his strongest guess, that this azab is not going to be repealed. So when people came to him and said that we want to repent, he thought that this is not possible anymore. فَذَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. And it was not befitting for a prophet to think like this. He should have come to us. He should have asked us for, of course, accepting the repentance of his people, and then of course there was that ordeal for him going through. Yeah.
Sisters, before we come back to the main side, any sisters? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. I just want to explain a term that you mentioned last week. What does ta'wil mean? Is it similar or different to tafsir? And in light of that, then what does the ayah in Surah Al Imran mean when it talks about وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ?
Oh, this is a very, very, of course, it's a very simple question with a very complicated and long answer. I think we have to dedicate a session to this when we come to some verses, because to explain what ta'wil is, you know, some exegetes have actually spent tens and tens of pages of coming to conclusion what ta'wil is. I don't think we could go about it through a very short answer. But it is different from tafsir, of course. Tafsir is understanding the apparent meaning of the Quran, the meaning of the sentences of the Quran. And this is what everyone can do. Everyone with enough knowledge of Arabic, enough knowledge of tafsir, enough knowledge of sababun nuzul and all these things could do. Ta'wil is to know what are the real intentions behind every verse. What has Allah intended by saying such a thing? You see, I might mention a sentence here and you completely understand the meaning of it, but you might not know why this sentence has been mentioned here. What is my true intention of mentioning such a sentence? And what is in my mind? You understand what the sentence is, but you don't know what is in my mind of that sentence. So those who know the ta'wil of the Quran, they really know what Allah intends by mentioning these things. Now, for example, we know that Allah mentions in the Quran that these verses which we just explained, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارِ, a sign for them is the night from which we take out the day. Now, it's clear for us, and we explained it last week, what did it mean? But really, do we know why Allah has brought such an ayah here? what is the significance of this ayah for human beings if they really ponder? We don't know. So that goes to ta'wil. And what is in the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one knows, of course, except a few elect people. This is a very short answer, but the long answer, of course, would need one or two sessions.
Yeah, Firoz?
I just want to, you know, it says in that verse when he says that Adam received some words from his Lord and he repented. That is just referring to the repentance. It's not referring to the Sharia. Then, you know, when you are explaining that maybe that is the point where it started, mm-hmm. that means the religion as a Sharia, as we understand it, started from the point after Adam had repented and mm-hmm. Allah says that now
yeah.
you and your people go. Could that be taken as that ayah, that was the beginning of that, because that Allah has now brought in where it says, فَتَعَلَمِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتُ. What is this kalimatu? Is it just referring to repentance, or is it referring to a whole Sharia? I mean, or a more broader sense of what to do and how to...
No, I think the following verse refers to Sharia in the broad sense that إِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى. No huda, no guidance has yet come. And Allah says, go to earth, live there, and when a guidance comes from me to you, follow it. Okay, and if you follow it, there's no harm, no fear for you. So that is even before Sharia coming. That's receiving those words and repenting. And of course, that kalimat might not mean literally words. It might mean concepts. It might mean meanings. Something by which Adam could go back to his Lord. A means by which Adam learned how to go. And this is a bit more congruent with what she has reported in their hadith, that he actually showed Adam alayhi salam that the somehow ashbah of people he was going to create in future from his progeny. And that ashbah, well, shabah, I don't know how we could translate it into English. It is a kind of some sort of concept or some sort of allusion to something which is going to be created later on. And when in our ahadith we have, of course, in various ahadith, that he was shown, he was taught the names of Muhammad and Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein, and he took them as a wasila, swearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by them that I want to repent. And of course, to find out the meaning of this it shouldn't be taken as its face value. It's very complicated. It doesn't mean that they were created at that time. But of course, for someone who has the knowledge of future, I mean, someone who has the knowledge of future might see a son being born for you, say, for example, in 200 years' time, and see the qualities of that son and how they would be. And this is what I mean by Shabah. They were not the real people created yet. It was just a notion of them, that they are going to be created. And they are so strong in their sticking to what Allah says, that Adam actually got a strength from them that he could repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this is a specification of the verse, making it very specific about what those words were. But generally it means that Allah showed him the way, how he has to repent to Allah, go back to him. And according to our ahadith, this is how he did it.
Can I ask any sisters?
Could it possibly also mean that at that point in time, this concept that Adam lived in this garden, right, and that the normal laws of this remorse and repentance were probably not something that he, because it was like a different set of qualities spiritually, and that almost
I don't know how to say it, but is it like human now, that he became human in that sense, that where there's remorse and regret, whereas there was nothing remorse and regret, there was only a sort of a state of perpetual bliss. And now these are the qualities and the laws that apply to us from that day on.
You mean those Calibans?
Yeah, yeah. No, that means, yeah, the status had changed in that sense. That he, you know, maybe at that stage when before he went to the tree, there was no concept of remorse and regret. There was something that he had... Because it says he was taught this. That means this was a consequence of his actions. That means he didn't realize. For you, for example, you said that he didn't even think that somebody could lie. So the concept of lie and good and evil might not have entered at that point in time, in his nature.
I mean, if the sense of remorse was not in his nature, how could he, before actually knowing about remorse, I mean, we know that he regretted what he did immediately. I mean, after he found out that it was just a lie, he regretted. And that regret was in him. It was built in him. So we couldn't say that those kalimat were a regret itself. Those kalimat were something with which, after regretting, after becoming remorseful, he actually wanted to go back. He didn't know how Allah showed him the way.
Last question.
Sorry, could you help us understand this when Allah says we don't differentiate between the prophets, what exactly does that mean? Because it seems that we actually do.
We don't differentiate between the prophets. We don't differentiate between them in the sense of accepting what they bring to us. But of course, there are lots of differences among prophets, because in the same surah, Surah Baqarah, Allah says, تَلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَةً. So the messengers, we have preferred some of them over others, we have given them higher qualities, and we have given some of them high degrees. فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. But we don't differentiate between them in the sense that we accept whatever they say. Doesn't matter whether it's Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them. All of them, we accept whatever they say. This is the differentiation in message rather than in their own qualities.
What does that mean? What would Allah have to accept from them? What would they say to him? Like, forgive my people, that sort of thing? What kind of thing is Allah talking about when we accept what they say? When Allah accepts what they say, you mean?
Actually, the ayah is addressed to Jews rather than to Muslims. That Muslims, when they are arguing with the Jews, they said, we accept only what has come to us, and we don't accept word of any other prophet. Now, Allah tells us, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ. We believe in God, whatever revealed to us, whatever revealed to you. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ. And then we do not differentiate between them. So it is actually a kind of response to what Jews said. We do not differentiate. You differentiate, but we do not differentiate.
Yeah. Sisters, you want the last chance? Okay, Muhammad. Okay, sister, yeah.
Just a quick question. When Musa alayhi salam killed his opponent, did he kill him in self-defense, so it is not a sin in this case? Because it was before he became a prophet?
No, it was not a sin in any case. I mean, that man deserved to be killed, actually. And I mean, it's just like saying, if you execute a murderer, do you commit a sin or not? It was not a sin at all. But Musa, of course, he was a young man. He didn't want to do such things. He didn't intend to kill that man, okay? And so he became so afraid, so fearful of what he did. And of course, he was probably told later on by Allah that, no, you did not commit a sin at all. That man deserved to be killed. So it was not a sin in any case.
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad salawat.